Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah, daf Yud Gimel. Rosh Hashanah, daf Yud Gimel. We left off Yud Beis, Amid Beis, right towards the bottom of the page. We got into a conversation yesterday towards the latter part of the daf. We were discussing the dinim of Trumas and Maestros, the Gabi Rosh Hashanah, Yerukas. So the Gemara today continues on. Now yesterday, some of you actually touched on this after yesterday's shiur. The Gemara was focused on what year the grains grew, the Gabi Trumas and Maestros, because we know in year 1 and 2, it's Maestro Rishon and Maestro Sheni. Year 3 is Maestro Rishon and Maestro Ani. 4 or 5 again is Maestro Rishon and Maestro Sheni. And year 6 is Maestro Rishon and Maestro Ani. Makes off communities which year grain grew in, as to, or got behemoths as well. You only take Maestro Behema from animals of the same year. So it makes a difference to have a Rosh Hashanah for Legabi Maestros. That was the focus of much of the second part of yesterday's daf. So the conversation came up pretty after the shir, that is it just telling you when it was plucked from the ground, which was the Gemara's example yesterday about the vegetables, or there are other deciding factors. So today's daf is going to focus by grains and some other items, what the determining factor is for what's considered its year for Trumas and Maestros. And the basic factor is going to be, the Gemara is going to focus very much on a shlish. When something grows a shlish, that once it grew a shlish in any given year, that's the year, even if it grows more the following year, that's going to be the year of its status. The Gemara is going to focus on that. From there, the Gemara is going to get into conversations about the shirim of Chachamim in general, how medactic they are, how precise those shirim are. And then the Gemara is going to have a conversation really at the same time of Aymer. They're bringing the carbon Aymer as part of the Raya. The Gemara brings this conversation as to when we judge how things, what their status is, if it grew a shlish beyond the guy or shlish beyond the yid. And ultimately the Gemara comes back again and finishes the conversation or continues about when's considered something, when something's considered chadash, what's considered yashin, based on, again, the hashrasha, based on when it takes root. Let's see. Says the Gemara, we're Yud Beis, Amud Beis, we're up to, right up to the, we're about 10 lines up at the bottom of the page, Tanan Hasam. Middle of the line, Tanan Hasam. We learned in a Mishnah over there, this is a Mishnah in Masechtas Maestros again. Hatilsa mishetitzmach. It's right in the beginning of the Maestros, actually. Hatilsa mishetitzmach. Hatfu avazeis mishevishlish. What is the zman, the year, that, or more specific of year? From what point is it considered already grown enough that it's now subject to the Maestro? So tilsun is the Teish tilsun as fenugreek. It's a type of spice, and we're saying that when it sprouts. What does it mean when it sprouts? I'm going to say in the very next line. It means that the fenugreek itself has seeds that are coming out of it that could be used. When there's seeds within the fenugreek that could be used, that's considered developed enough that it's subject to Trumas and Maestros. And tfu of azesim, grains and olives, mishiv yushlish. When they reach one third of their growth, a third of their maturity, that's when it's subject to the din of Trumas and Maestros. What does it mean by the tilsun, the Mishnah, when it says, when it's shetitzmach, what does that mean? That it sprouted? When its seeds sprout, there's already seeds that sprouted from it, that's considered enough to have a chiv of Maeser. And grains, olives, we said in the Mishnah, is once it grows a third of its growth, menonimili. What's the source that a third of the growth is considered enough growth that it's subject to of Maestros? Amrav Asi, Amrav Yechanan, Umatama Mishpeta of Yesglili. So either it's the name of Yechanan or the name of Yesglili. Amar Krami Ketsevashan Mayed, Shnasa Shmita of Chagasukes. At the end of 7 years, during the Mayin, right, during the Mayin of the year of Shemitah, during Sukkot. Now, by definition, once you hit Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot follows, of course, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Once you hit Rosh Hashanah, whatever year you were until now, the Pasuk clearly focuses on the year of Shemitah, by Sukkot, you're out of the Shemitah, right? If it was Shemitah the past year, it was the year of Shemitah. So once you get to Sukkot, you're out of Shemitah. Says the Gemara, Shnas HaShemitah Ma'avidi B'chag HaSukkot. What are you telling me? That it's the year of Shemitah. It's the end, Miketz, the end of 7 years, and it's onto Sukkot, which is really Sukkot of the 8th year, and you're calling it Shemitah. It's no longer Shemitah. It's telling you, the Pasuk in this interesting usage of calling Sukkot the year of Shemitah is teaching us, any grains that brought forth a third, it grew a third of its growth, of its maturity, during Shemitah, during Shvias, prior to Rosh Hashanah, atanayik by Shvias b'Shminas. You treat it, even though now it's the eighth year, you treat it with Dina Shvias in Shminas. The halachas of Shvias will apply to this growth, since it already grew one third in the year of Shemitah. It gets a Dina Shemitah, even though now we're in the eighth year. So this is a right to say that if somebody goes a third in a particular year, that year is what's considered status. So who did the Gavi Meisters? The halacha is, something goes a third in year number two, is considered Meisr for year number two, even though grew the next part of it in year number three. Says Gemara.
Oh, just one question.
Sure.
So if you reverse it, and it grew one third in year six, and two thirds in Shemitah, is it potter for Meisr and Truma?
The Chayr not. Would not be potter, because it grew a third in year six. It grew a third in year six. Right, to your point,
I mean, Truma both ways.
Correct. Which is really the Gemara's next question. Really, to your point, we had a Gemara just a couple of hours ago, and what did we discuss? There's a concept of, and maybe this is where you're going, Lezer, Tosef Shvias. We just discussed Becharish Vekatzer Tishbeis just a couple of hours ago. There's a concept of Becharish Vekatzer Tishbeis that we're supposed to be Meisif on the Shemitah. We actually specifically said, we according to our Meir, could be one day. We said 30 days before Shemitah and going into the Zman right after Shemitah. So that's essentially the Gemara's next question. Amar Bezer Levasi, you bring me a proof that what? That because we say Sukkos, at Sukkot in the eighth year still is the Shemitah, what must mean? It must mean, it doesn't say this in the Pasuk, we're extrapolating, it must mean that which grew a third in year seven is already considered year seven and has dinim of year Shemitah, even though we're already in now year eight. Maybe not. The Dilma Tapa Chuyud Gimel Malav. The Dilma Yai Klal. The Kamarachmanet, the Shamit Vitezel, Archag Sukkot. Maybe nothing grew in year seven. Didn't grow at all in year seven. And this is just a basic application of a din of the pasuk telling me have Tosef Shvias, meaning go continue with the din of Shvias into the eighth year. Tosef actually asks that we'll explain Tosef based on Yeshua or Chaner's elaboration. He asks as a kasha really what we just brought up, and that is that why would we need a second pasuk? Why would we need two pesukim telling me ideas of Tosef Shvias? If Bishlam of this din is that which grew a third in year seven as a real legitimate din, I say legitimate, I don't mean lafugi chasram teisefes, but it's me'ikir din of Shvias because since it grew a third. Everybody has din Shvias, so even though now you're in year eight, you still have to treat like Shvias, that is Gishmak and Uchiddish, the way we understood it in our initial assumption over here. But if you're telling me now the Mars Kasha, maybe it didn't go at all in year seven, and there's just a new pasuk telling me that till Sukkot of year eight, you have to treat any produce like Shemitah, essentially a din of teisefes Shvias. We know teisefes Shvias already. Why would we need another pasuk? Teisefes answers, we need it because maybe I would say, well, we know till now, well, maybe this pasuk I should say is only telling me legabe the how we treat the peiros. Maybe the issur of charisha of plowing the ground, maybe that doesn't apply. I can already plow the ground right away, right into the beginning of the eighth year. Kamashma, that no, even this of charisha would apply to that which is that to, at least till Sukkot time, or that's becharish v'katzer, whatever for the first month, however long this man is. Even the din of charisha is going to apply. That's what we need two psukim. The pasuk we had earlier, becharish v'katzer, is coming to ask even working the field, not just how we treat the produce. Okay, so we need two psukim. But the Gemara's happening right now is again it's a havmina that maybe this pasuk is teaching me a din of tesef shvias, nothing to do with that which grew shlish. Says the Gemara, lo yisak adai, don't make that mistake. Tichsiv v'chag ha'asav b'seis hashana, because the pasuk stresses, it says the chag of gathering at the end of the year. My asav, what does asav mean? Even if chag b'zman asifa, if you come and tell me that's simply the time of the yomtiv, which is the time where we gather the grain, the harvest. Hachsiv aspecha already says in the pasuk, but aspecha when you gather your grains, it says that clearly. So what does it stress again? A name chag asav, elamai asav katzir. What does asav mean? It means the harvesting. And what does that mean? It means anything that's fit to be harvested on Sukkot, that's what the Chag HaAsav is referring to. Not Stam, that's a Zman of gathering that we know already, is coming to say that Dinei Shemitah apply to anything that's fit to be harvested by Sukkot. We'll have the din of Dinei Shemitah, have the din of the year before. They came to the Rabbanon, no, they have an established fact that Kol Tefush Shiksu B'Chag, any tefu which is cut, grains that are cut by Sukkot, B'Yadua Shavir Shlish V'Rashana. It must be that it was a Shlish ready, a Shlish developed before Rosh Hashanah. V'Kekarali B'Seis Hashanah. And the Murah first is closed as it says Hashanah, the end of the year, stressing that anything which is a third ready before the end of the year gets it in Shemitah. So back to our point, we've proven, are you saying that anything which grows a third of its growth in any given year, as a status, it gets the status of, I should say, the first third, right? To Liza's point from before, once it grew the first third in a specific year, that's its year, even though it grows the next two thirds, the next year, it doesn't matter. If it grew the first third, that's its year. So the Gavi Shemitah, we have a Din Shemitah, and the Gavi our purposes, that'll be the Kaveya for the year of Meiser. Amr Le Rabbi Yirmi Le Mezer. This is Rabbi Yirmi Es Mezer. Question, this is a very famous type of question. Yeshua Shlema has, I want to say a list, but a few places in Shas where we have Rabbi Yirmiyah asking similar type questions. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah of Zera, we'll mention one of them in a minute. V'kimle ilu rabbanon v'yishlish l'pachas v'shlish. You're telling me that if it grew a third, then it's considered already that it's a status in that year. L'gav Yishmit, l'gav Yimaisrus, and less than third not. And are the rabbanon so exact that they could determine what's considered a third? Is it so clear? Meaning, the shear seems to be very nuanced to be able to stress when's a third, when's not a third. And even furthermore, what is it exactly a third? Maybe drop less than a third also should be good enough, or maybe drop more than a third should not be good enough. Like, who says that? Why they're running so sure, so to speak, that the shear is exactly a third? Amar Leis, Rav Zeis, back to Rav Yirmiya, Lav Amin Lech, Leitepik Nafshach Lebar Melchasa. Haven't I told you already? This refers to the other times where Rav Yirmiya asks similar questions. Haven't I told you already? Don't take yourself outside the halacha, meaning you're doubting the shiurim of the Chachamim. Kop Midas Chachamim Kenu, all the measurements of the Chachamim are such. Meaning, and we give a couple examples. Barbamsa Utevil, a mikveh needs to be a barbamsa. Barbamsa Chas a Kortav, if it's missing even a Kortav, 40 sa, missing just a Kortav, Yachal, you can't go to the mikveh, the mikveh is fossil. Kibetza b'tameh tumas eichlin. Similarly, when it comes to tumas eichlin, you need to be have a size of kibetza. We discussed this many times. It's a this machlekes to Rishonim. Does this mean that in order for something to be mekabel tumah by food, something meaning a food, in order for food to be mekabel tumah, it's got to be the size of a kibetza? Or does it mean no? Avada, food is susceptible to become tumah even less than kibetza. It means legabe conveying tumah. For food to give off tumah to something else, needs to be kibetza. Okay, it's a discussion every time that gemara comes up when we talk about kibetza, the share of tumas eichlin. What does it mean, becoming tumah or giving off tumah? Either way, the share is kibetza. Kibetza chaser shumshum, the size of an egg missing the size of a sesame seed, come out nothing. Anyway, tamat tamas eichel, one of tamas eichel, meaning the shear of the chamim are exact. Mikvah's 40 so exactly. Beit says that whatever the shear, the standard beit is, it's that shear, not a drop less. Shleisha shleisha matam medras. Similarly, a cloth that's three tvachim by three tvachim is subject to tumas medras, tuma of sitting on it, of lying on it. Shleisha shleisha chasanima, if it's three tvachim by three tvachim, missing one hair breath. So Rav Zeir just says to remember, you're asking, are the shirim exact? Is exactly shlish? The answer is yes. The shirim chamim are always exact. Okay, before you see there, Birmir himself is masking that the shear of shlish must be is exact. Me and the chamim are able to be clear in determining what that shear of shlish is. What's considered, how to measure the shear of shlish. We just to point out, we had this similar idea we had back in Bava Basra. In the Gemara Bava Basra, this famous story, the Gemara is discussing the ideas of halachas of Rav Karav. Right? You go Bas, we always have to be more famous as Rav. We have a suffix, you go Bas Rav. But what if there's a doubt related to Karav as well? For example, I'm going over there, just, if I remember correctly, it's talking about when there's a mace found between cities. So do you go by the chances of rave people from this city as opposed to this city, or do you go by the Karev, what's closer, which city is closer? So in that conversation, the more discusses that when you find a bird, a chick, outside of a coop, so if it's within 50 amas, we say that up to 50 amas, the bird is able, even if they're not able to fly it, they hop away from the coop, and you can assume the birds belong to the specific coop, you can't take it, it belongs to that chicken coop. More than 50 amas, they don't hop away. The more speaks about in case we have Karen Zavis. It depends if it's around the corner or not. If it gets to see the coop. Either way, the more give a shear over there 50 amas. Ask Rabbi Yirmiyah, is 50 amas the exact shear? And the logic of the question is actually has a lot of merit. Meaning, birds are different. Not every bird is the same. Just like not every human is the same. How can you give me a shear of exactly 50 amas if one bird can go 50? Wouldn't it make sense that there's another bird that can only go 49, and there's another bird that can go 51? This epis, how are you arriving at an exact shear of 50? That's the question that he asked, and they bounced him from the base medrash. They bounced Rabbi Yirmiyah from the base medrash. Al da afkua, remember the gemara? And in Babas Nechav Gimel, they said he doesn't have proper emunas chachamim. Chachamim gave a shear of 50. That's the shear, and they sent him out of base medrash. When did he get back in? 130 some odd blot later, the Masechta is 176 blot. So on a Daf Kuf Samach Gimel, I believe it is, Kuf Samach Dalam, around there, they came to him with a Shaila and he said, me? Rabbi Yirmiyah said, is outside the Beis Medrash, I'm not Kedai, yes, me the Shaila, go ask the Chachamim. So it was exactly the opposite. He showed a tremendous respect to Chachamim, and for that they let him back into the, back into the, into the base matter. So you see this concept, this idea of Yerim, you're questioning Yeshua Chamim, and that's what Bezei is referring to. Didn't I tell you before, don't take yourself out of halacha, stop, don't question Yeshua Chamim. The Rishonim and the Shainim, Chorinim, Taka discuss, more we'll quote from the Shainim, but the Maestro, does Yerim not have a good question? Taka, the Shurim, we're saying, let's say for example, let's go back to Mikvah. The Shurim, how do we get to 47? Because we said the Stama person is a certain, in order to, for Mikvah to compass a regular standard person, we've spoken about it many times, you need to be one Amma cubed by three, right? One, three Ammas tall by one Amma square. In order for a person's body to fit, you have to have a space that fits one Amma square by three Ammas cubed, and the Chum, that's the Chum Mishayir. That's enough to cover a person's body in water, and how much water fits it to one by three? It fits a 40 sa. That's where the basic idea comes from. You have people of different sizes. People that are bigger, people that are smaller. Is 40 sa automatically going to be the shear? So what's Takab Shad? Taisim of Basra's Mashma, that yes, let's go back to the case of, let's say, the 50 Ammas. They were Taisim Mashma, the Chum were experts. They knew exactly how far the birds can move, and the birds don't move more than 50 amas. So up to 50 amas, you assume it's from the chicken coop. More than 50 amas, you no longer assume it's from the coop, because birds don't move more than 50 amas. Then I'm a dadad, and they don't hop more than 50 amas. It's tak an exact shear. However, the Ritva seems to explain that, I don't want to use the word like plug, but it's along those lines, that no, if you're not going to give a specific shear, then you can be mefakvik. Everyone can start making their own level for, I don't know, this bird I see could travel further. This person needs a different shear mikveh. We're going to be mefakfikin in all shearim. It's going to make major complications. It's literally nesat levech l'shearim. Every day is going to have its own shear. And therefore, come establish a set shear, and you can't question, we can't be mefakfik on the shear, otherwise it's going to lead to no standard. There's not going to be any standard shear for all these various dinim. Sounds, again, very much like Leip Luk, and Rashi says similar in Ksuvah Sav Kav Dalet. Rashi from Basra takes this same idea and takes it a little bit further. It says, even a katan we know is small. For sure, the lumdus of the size that we gave for a mikveh wouldn't apply to a katan. A katan is a much smaller physical being. Even a katan, we cannot have this idea of shurim being fluctuating. Rather, chazal, the power, now we're getting to the achrenim explained in these rishonim that the pshat, the chazal had the power, the Torah gave over, and maybe there's even halacha mishmar sinai, Maraschis discusses, there's halacha mishmar sinai on the shiurim, and chazal had the power to plug in which shiur goes to which din. And then once they plug it in, that's the fact. There's no fluctuations. It's like it's a question that even they discuss. We discussed until now, maybe it's a leplug derabanan. They want to say maybe it's even leplug deraisa, not even derabanan. If we hold that the shirim alachas from Mishnah Sinai, and the rabbanan were given the jurisdiction to determine which shir gets plugged into which din, once the chumah plug in a shir to a certain din, it's a almost like a leplug midaraisa, not just derabanan. It's even stronger, and we can't be a fact with the shirim. Okay. Now Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to have a change of heart and say, you know what, I was wrong. Besides for the fact that he's telling me I shouldn't question the Shurim HaChamim, I myself can bring a clear raya that a shlish is considered a status, not just a shlish a status, more so that Chazal were able to determine what's considered grown a shlish, what's considered that if something grew a shlish or not, is something which is discernible. Says the Gemara, what's Rabbi Yirmiyah's source? Hadar Amar Yirmiyah, Lav Mil Sidami. My earlier question wasn't even a question, and I'll prove it for the following halacha. Really, it's really history. Debo Minei Chavai Merav Kana, the Chavayim Esh Rav Kana. Aymer Shekiv Yisrael B'Chnas Leretz. The Aymer that Klai Yisrael brought when they went to Eretz Yisrael. So again, this is a historical question. When the Klai Yisrael went to Eretz Yisrael the first time in the times of Yeshua, the Aymer they brought Mechel Kivu, where did they get the barley? Aymer comes from barley, of course. Where did they get the barley to bring as the Aymer? If you say it grew by the hands of a guy, I mean it grew in the possession of a guy, the guy was in Eretz Yisrael until right before that point. So if it was Aymer that grew by a guy, barley grew by a guy, there's a miyat. Ketzircham's got to be the ksir of Yenach, the ksir of a guy. So that can't be, that they just took barley that grew by a guy. That's not an option. Ask the Gemara one second. And who said they brought Bechlal? Mimayda Krivu, Tibla Krivu. Who said they brought Aymer Bechlal that first year? Maybe they didn't bring it. Gemara says no. Don't have a havminization thing. It says they ate from the produce of the land the day after Pesach. Machas Pesach is actually the sprach used in the Yomer. Svartan Lechem, mean Machas Pesach, right? Which is the Miyam of Yacham Esemer too. For the day you bring the Yomer, we say that, of course, by a Svira, right? That's the Pesukim over there, by Svira. So very clearly, the same Lashon, it says they ate Machas Pesach. What was the stress they ate in the morning after Pesach on the 16th? What's the stress? Meikar Le'achel. It's very clear that Memachas Pesach Achol Mekar Lechol. They only ate Memachas Pesach, not the day before. Why would that be? Akiva Aimer Vadachli, because they had to bring the Aimer first, and that was Matir, that which was Chadash Tilna, becomes Matir. So Mechel Akiva. So back to the question that we established in the Pesukim, it's pretty clear. They brought the Memachas Aimer right away when they got there to Israel. From where did they have the grains, the barley, to offer it? Amar Lehem Kosh Levi Shlish Pi'at Nachri. Shravkana responded to the Chaverim, whatever didn't grow a third in the hands of a guy. So yes, it belonged to the guy till now. Kaisel came in and conquered, and whatever had not grown yet a third by the guy, when the yid took over, now it reached its growth of a third by the yid, that could be used for the aimer. Says Gemara, Vidilma Ayavalei Kimlu, but maybe, so Rabbi Yirmiyahu now speaks out, that here's the proof that it's clear that the Chazal, in this case, we're talking about when Kaisel got into Eretz Yisrael, that they're able to determine whether something grew a third or not, it's a shear that they're able to discern. Why? Because Dilma Ayavalei Kimlu, maybe it had already grown a third by the guy, and they wouldn't be able to tell. The fact that we're not concerned about that possibility must mean Ela Kimlu, must be they able to determine whether it reached the third growth or not. So Hachanami Kimlu. So it's over here, when we just discussed about that which grew a third before Hashanah gets it in year A, and that which grows after it reaches the third only after Hashanah gets it to status of year B. The Gavish Meet, the Gavish Meisters, and Rabbi Yirmiyahu asked, are the Chum so bucky to be able to tell what grew a third, what didn't grow a third? Yes, we already see history for that by the Eimer when Klai Yisrael made its way into Eretz Yisrael. Says them are not so fast. The more asked, very interesting. Rabbi Yirmiyahu is proving himself wrong, meaning proving that the Chachamim do have an ability to discern. The more, this is the mana emes. The more says, the proof you bring, not a proof. We all the Chachamim could discern, but the proof you bring is not a proof. Why? Because you're assuming they got that Yisrael, and it already was partially grown, it was close to a third, and they were able to tell it wasn't a third yet, and then it became a third by the time they brought the Eimer. Maybe when they got that Yisrael, they only used grains for the Eimer, which hadn't grown at all. Meaning, everyone agrees that something which is barely grew, is definitely not a third. That's you don't need to be a bucky to figure that out. So maybe that was the case over there. The Marz Lashon actually is Vidimla Ayakal. Maybe they took Aimer from that which hadn't ripened at all. It was clearly not a third. But a case, but let's say we reached a quarter. Quarter is the level right before third. Let's say we reached a quarter of maturity, but not a third. Like Yimlu, maybe Taka the Chamim. Don't weren't able to discern the difference between a quarter and a third. So your question is, I mean, you, if that was your question, this shouldn't be a raya that your question was maybe they're not Bekiyim to determine what's called a third or not. Don't give me a proof of the case of Aimer, because maybe over there they also were Bekiyim. They just used product that they knew wasn't even close to a quarter yet. Says no. Don't assume that way. Why? Let's go back to the history. When did Klai Yisrael come up into Eretz Yisrael from the Yarden? On the 10th of the month, on the 10th of Nisan, the Eimer is being brought 6 days later, on the 16th of Nisan. Isak Adaitach, the Ayakal, if we're doing something that wasn't ripened at all, therefore it's no doubt that it wasn't a shlish, because it wasn't ripened at all, the Chamishi Yemi Kami Kamale, it's actually 5 days later, because you're cutting it already the night before. So 5 days later, is it going to go from being not ripe at all to being at least a third ripe? That's not such a possibility. It must mean it was partially ripened already, and which just wasn't. It was partially developed. It wasn't a third, and it's a raya again. Like Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, the Chachamim were able to discern the Klai Yisrael was able to determine whether it was a third or not. They were able to discern the difference. Elamai, the Mar says 1 second. The Al Riva Aydanka, the Mar says 1 second. But if you're telling me they got there on the 10th, and the case is it wasn't not ready at all, because that wouldn't be ready by the 16th. But guess what? Let's say it was a quarter ready or a sixth ready when they came in. You still have the same question. In 5 days, does it go from being a quarter or a sixth to being a third ready? In 5 days, is it normal for the Eimer to come ready? Elamai Sechamem, what do you have to say? Eretz Tzvi. Eretz Tzvi Ksiva. Says Eretz Tzvi, the land of the deer, literally. Eretz Tzvi, the land of Eretz, the land of deer. Deer, of course, is swift. So in this context, it's different from Shatam, what the significance of calling Eretz Tzvi. Tzvi, of course, is also very tight skin. Right? When you, of all animals, most animals, once you take flay it, once you shock the animal, if you try to wrap the skin back around the animal, it doesn't go. By deer, it's especially taut. The skin is especially tight. And it's even harder to try to cover the body with the skin once it's flayed. Okay, but the point is, in our context, Eretz Tzvi seems to be more of a word of speed. It's the land of speed. Things grow quickly, meaning the same way you get from being a quarter or a sixth grown to being a third grown within 5 days, once you're able to say that, so maybe it wasn't grown b'chol. Hakanami, Eretz Tzvi k'siva, says Eretz Tzvi, and therefore back to deflect Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question, Rabbi Yirmiyahu's raya, Rabbi Yirmiyahu's trying to bring a raya that when they came to Israel, they're able to discern whether it had grown a third or not, and that which hadn't grown a third, and then grew a third by the time it was time for the Eimer, was perfect, was what they used. Don't bring me proof from there, because maybe it hadn't grown at all. It was barely developed. It for sure was far from a third. Maybe the expertise to determine whether it's a third or not, like Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question, is a valid question, maybe. And the right from there is not a right, because it goes very fast. So they found grains that were combat not developed. 5 years later, they were developed enough past the third because the land of Eretz Eretz Zvi and things were very quickly. You have no raya. Rabbi Yirmiyahu has no raya to his own deflection on his question. Maybe the question would still stand. His raya is not a raya. The more obviously doesn't agree to Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question. The point is Rabbi Yirmiyahu tried to answer himself, and we said we deflected his own tirades. Before we go further on this, 4 points on this idea of we've been discussing about Eimer and coming into Eretz Yisrael. Safek, whether it was the third or not. Let's go through quickly. 4 quick points. First of all, the halacha is that b'di'eved, if you don't find barley in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to go to Eiver Yarden. You're allowed to go to Eiver Yarden and take barley from there. Ask Iran, we're so busy asking what did they use for the first time when they brought to Eimer. I didn't know if it was a shlesh, it was Biad Gai, it's Ketzir Chem, it's not the Ketzir the Gai. They brought from Eiver Yarden. They were in Eiver Yarden. They were living there. They had grains from there. They brought with them grains from Eiver Yarden. Look at a simple etza, as they affect Iran. 2 answers. Ron gives an answer himself. Very big insight in life. This was the first time they get there to Stroll and they bring an Eimer. If the first you have Eimer, yes. Bidi Yeved, if you have no choice, you let it be for Eiver Yarden. In the first time to do the mitzvah of Eimer, to do it in a Bidi Yeved fashion, there's no way the first time they did the mitzvah, they didn't be a Bidi Yeved fashion. So the first time someone approaches something and does something, you have to do it with the most optimal way. It sets an example. It's the chinuch. It sets an example. It has to be done the most optimal way possible. So even though technically it would have been kosher, there's no way they would have done it in this Bidi Yeved fashion the first time. Must be there's a different answer. An interesting turn to the Ram. The Yeshua Malka wants to suggest a Gishmak Achap and others agree or elaborate on this concept, but just take out the concept, and that is that even Eiver Yarden wasn't good until they conquered Eretz Yisrael. So it wouldn't help. What are you saying? You're saying that they brought Eiver Yarden? No! Eiver Yarden wouldn't be good enough to bring for the Eimer until they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and they grew for Eretz Yisrael. So the question was, what was ripe in Eretz Yisrael in that first 5 days that they conquered to bring from there? You'd have the same similar issue with Eiver Yarden as well. They had to have not grown a shlish until they conquered and took over Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you wouldn't have any benefit going with Eiver Yarden as the Eifer Shua's Malka. That's point number one. Point number two. Today, I mean, every time the conversation comes up, we touch on it. We'll touch on it very briefly today. This is the whole idea of bringing the Eimer. It's the matter of the Chadash, right? And Eretz Yisrael is still Makbid. They're more Makbid on Chadash. In Chutz Laaretz, for many generations already, when it goes back hundreds of years, in Europe, they weren't so Makbid on Chadash. These days, people became more Makbid again a little bit on Chadash. But for the most part, Chutz Laaretz has been not Makbid on Chadash. The question is, why? Why are we not Makbid? It's Din Daraisa. Why are we not Makbid on Chadash in Chutz Laaretz? So there's a Bach that says, this is why I'm bringing it up over here, because there's a question on this Bach. The Bach says, this famous Ramah, first of all, just to get to the punchline, the famous Ramah says it's a Sfek Sveika. He creates a Sfek Sveika, which is a very, very mechudishtika, we'll use that word. It's a, I don't want to say a deichik, Sfek Sveika, because it's really one Sfek. The Sfek is, are these grains from prior to last Eimer, last Pesach, or not? Anything I'm using today, is it prior or not? He makes it into a double Sfek. Did it grow the past year? Did it grow the year before or this year? And even if it's this year, maybe it was already a shlish before, which is really one suffix. Did it grow shlish before this Pesach? It's one suffix. But the Ramah creates it into a Sfek Sveika and says that's the heter, fine. But the Bach wants to say the reason why we're not knowing in Chutz Laaretz is because typically most grains in Chutz Laaretz grew Biyad Nagai, and that which grows Biyad Gai will not have a din of Chadash. Ask the Shach, you see from Agamar not like that. Agamar discussed Makai Yisrael conquered Eretz Yisrael, and Agamar discusses how they brought the Eimer, because you need the Eimer to be Matir, the Chadash. Anything that grew till now was certainly grown Biyad Gai. If it's grown Biyad Gai, then the Chayra should never have a Din of Chadash. It must be that the Din of Chadash applies even to something grown Biyad Gai, and therefore that's the Shach's deflection, his question on the Bach's heter for why we don't have Chadash in Chutz Laaretz. Okay. Again, bigger conversation in general. Part of it was in Europe, if they were going the other way, if they weren't able to eat from Chadash, they would starve. They literally wouldn't have bread. They wouldn't have bread, they wouldn't have grains, they wouldn't be able to eat any grains. So there was I don't want to say Eis Lasleis, but it was a very dire situation. The question then becomes, so today we're Baruch Hashem, we have the means that we're able to create our own backlog, our own stash, our own supply of various products. Why are we not so makbid, particularly Chutz Laaretz? Again, many bakeries these days already, bakeries and commercial stores, are indeed makbid. They store up the flours and they are makbid. The question is, why isn't it mainstream? Again, that theorem has been going on for many, many years. The Achrayim have discussed various theorem, but that was the Bach's Heter, and the Shach takes issue with the Bach's Heter from our Gemara that we see in Biyad Goy. It is considered an issue. Point number three in this conversation, the Rambam, famous Rambam. We know that we say Safik Daraisa, we go to Chumrah. Safik Darabanan, we go to Kula. Rambam holds that Mid Daraisa, Safik Daraisa is Lakula. Safik Daraisa, go to Kula. This that we go to Chumrah on a Safik Daraisa is a Din Darabanan. Right? Just get that clear. The Din that we go, the Chumrah, that we're noyig to the stringent side. We hold safi deraisa, we hold chumr no matter what. Rambam held that no, that's only a chumr derabanan. It's a chumr derabanan that on a safi deraisa we go to chumra. On a deraisa level, safi deraisa we go to kula. Why is that relevant here? Ask the crazy place. He says, I don't understand. Over here we're talking about, it's before all the gezeiros of Chazal, before the Mashiach, it's before the Kaisel, got into the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's a suffix whether there's a din, whether this is able, this is a grew a third by the guy or not. Suffix derais the kula. You bring it. Meaning, what's your beer miss? Whole shakra batayas or raya? That they kimle, they're able to discern whether they grew a third or not. They start making raya against his own question. You see, they were experts in knowing how it grew. No. They're not experts. It's a suffix. But by a suffix deraisa, mid deraisa, you go lakula. According to Rambam, what's Akamara's raya? If it's a suffix, you should be able to bring it anyway. Al suffix, you should be able to bring these grains for the aimer. Answers the achreinim, not the place himself, the answer on the place's question. The achreinim answer, very simple, that this could be a chilik between suffix isser, which ironically enough, chadash is usser, but that's not our focus here. Our focus is bringing the mitzvah aimer, bringing the carbon aimer, bringing the carbon aimer. Suffix isser, suffix mitzvah. Rambam says you go lakula, like I be suffix isser. Suffix something is us, suffix whether something is us or not, we go lakula. We say suffix, you go on a derais level, you go lakula. Suffix whether you could perform a mitzvah with it, there we don't see. Rambam says that suffix derais lakula to be able to do a mitzvah, that you don't see. And therefore, the same as suffix, it didn't grow a shlish, and therefore I could bring it for the aimer, that you wouldn't be able to say, because that's a suffix in being able to perform a mitzvah. Again, it's relevant, it's related to a din isser, but the suffix at hand is a suffix mitzvah, and perhaps we would say suffix lula. One last point, we probably should start with this. Taisvis asks that we know you Eretz Yisrael is Yerusha Bevesenu. Avram Binu walked the land, right? Northwest, east, south, he walked across the land. And what did he do when he walked the land? He made a kinyan on it. If Eretz Yisrael is Nikna to Avram Binu, so L'chayra, what's the issue that the guy happens to be sitting in the land right now? It belongs to us. When we conquered Eretz Yisrael way back when, Kaisa won conquered Eretz Yisrael. So why are we worried that there's no emer to be brought from grains that grew a shlish by the yid and it all grew by the guy? It's not Katsirchem. It's always Katsirchem because it belongs to us. I mean, it's a basic question on the whole concept of the Gemara. He's saying it's not Katsirchem. Why not? Why isn't it not all Katsirchem? The fact that Avraham Avinu was given Yerusha to the land was given to Avraham Avinu and to his descendants. Answers Tosfos that the land of Avad still belongs to the Yidden, and it always belongs to the Yidden. Even when the Goyim were conquered it and they were living there, it belonged to the Yidden. But the grains that grew when the Goy plows, plants, works, cultivates the field, those grains, that belongs to him. The land belongs to the Yidden, but the grains, it doesn't belong to the Yidden, and therefore we have our issues whether or not, if it's a shlish by the Goy, it's a problem. If it developed a shlish after the Yidden already conquered it, then it's fine. And that was Rabbi Yirmiyahu's attempt at a raya, which they were deflected. Okay, says my friend, Masgur Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina,
not to be mechuyev
would be a kula. Okay, let's say still a good kasha, still the question. Yeah, the problem wasn't cool. The problem was, since you go to kula, so what's our issue on Gemara Bechlau? And Achrami. So don't bring it at all, let's say. That would be your question. Don't bring it at all. The way we explained the question was, just bring it, even though I'm a suffix, whether it grew a shlish or not. You'll reiterate the question and say, why don't bring it at all? Maybe it's not mechuyev at all. Same type of question, and the answer will still be the same. That there's an Isser element, and there's a mitzvah element. And if the mitzvah element, you can't go to kula. You can ask the chayri, you can ask either way. And Achrami. Okay. Masna Rav Chanina. Could you say that the asif in the pasuk that we start off with, the asif means gathering? It says in the pasuk the yontif of sukkahs is when you gather from the threshing floor, and from the yakev is the wine vat. Vamamar, the pasuk is speaking about the pesalos of gerim yakev, which are namakabatama, they grow from the ground, and we learn from here that the sukkah has to be made from materials, right? As we know, there's alachomaisa that sukkah has to be made from things that grow from the ground are namakabatama. But if that's the case, so the pasuk is simply telling me another name for sukkahs to explain what type of materials are used for the sukkah, but no, we can't no longer derive from the lashon of aspacha what we were darshing before, that which is gathered till sukkahs has it in a shmita because it grew a shlish before the end of last year, and so is in a shvias. We can't make all those drushes. We need it for the basic din of sukkah. You're right, this matter of knowing a source that the shlish is considered the stage of growth. And that's why that which grows, that which is ready to be gathered by sukkahs, must have gone to shlish at the end of the year. And we had a proof to the concept. We had a good idea, but Rav Chanina threw a rock, a wrench in it. He threw an axe, literally means an axe. He threw an axe in it because He showed it. He has a completely different taisha of the pasuk where it's used for teaching me what could be used for schach. Element alone. So back to a question: what's the source that we know shlish is what is considered status by growth by grains, ketanya and by olives, ketanya benis and yisuf aimer v'asa. The pasuk said, "This is a bracha when we keep shemitah." Hakadosh Baruch Hu commands. He said, "I'm going to command the land to have 3 years a bracha, 3 years of growth. Meaning, the crop of the sixth year will carry you through the sixth year, the seventh year, of course, of shemitah, and even the eighth year. Because certainly, the first part of the eighth year, you weren't able to work the fields yet. So even the eighth year. Now, I'll take the shalish. So of course, we read it simply: 3 years, 3 years worth of top of a base, 3 years worth meaning year six, seven, eight. Don't read it shalish. Rather read it." Elul shlish. Read it as if it says a third of a crop. So the pasuk is saying anything which grew a third will have a din of that year that it grew the third. But you need it for the bracha. You need to tell me that this 3 years of growth. Mar says, yeah, we know that already. Ksiv achachrina, ksiv krachrina. V'yizratim as a shana shminis. V'chatim at tefu yashan ad shana tshis. The pasuk already says elsewhere this idea that the bracha will be on the produce that you'll have left over from prior years will survive to carry you through the years that you won't have. Because of Shemitah, so we already know that must be this pasuk with the Imadarshan, the word shalish as shlish, and that's our source, that a third of the growth is the determining factor. Baiter in this conversation about what stage of growth determines what its year it's in. Tananas, we learned in a mission over there, this is actually a mission Shvias. The mission we called earlier was in the first Pekah of Maestros. Now we're on to a mission in Shvias. Ha'iris, again, the focus of here is going to be about Shemitah. The Ha'iris Vadeichen, rice and millet, Vapragim, Ashubshabin, and sesame seeds, poppy seeds, or Pragim is poppy seeds, Shubshabin is sesame seeds, sheshrishu fevashana, that took root before Hashana. So here we're going to a new stage. We're not talking about shlish of growth, we're talking about hashrasha, when it takes root. Halacha is, if it took root before Hashana, masashrin l'shavar, its meiser is taken based on the past year, where it took root. Umitar mishmias, and has no din shmita because it took root already in the year, in the sixth year, prior to shmita. Vimla, but if it didn't take root until after Hashana, asur mishmias gets din shmias, masashrin shanaba, and its meiser goes like the upcoming year. Ironically enough, there is really no meiser in the year of Shemitah. Just means in general, when you want to determine what year its year for Maestros is, it would be the year that it took root in. So if it only takes root after Rosh Hashanah, that'll be its year of Maestros, and it happens to be a year of Shemitah, then that'll be it would have a status of Shemitah. If it took root prior to Rosh Hashanah, it gets the status of the year that was prior to Rosh Hashanah. Amar Ban Ilan Basachanata. So Amar Rabba, Rabba asks the following. Chum say that when it comes to fruits of a tree and you're deciding, determining what its status is, you go based on chanata, based on when it emerges, when the fruit starts to emerge. Two of his asim, basa shlish. Grains and olives, that was what we started off today. That was mamish the first, then we said, tilson, fenugreek is when it starts to sprout, and grains and olives are when they grow a third, that's exactly this din. Basa shlish goes based on a third. Yerek basa lakita, and vegetables, as we had this action yesterday's din, its status is based on when it's picked. Based on what it's picked, if it's picked before Hashanah, it gets the status of the year before Hashanah. If it's picked right after Hashanah, it gets the status of after Hashanah. There's a discussion, we touched on it briefly, I'm not sure if it was in the morning shiur or the evening shiur, that does it mean mamash when it's picked, or does it mean when it's ready to be picked? Right? When we talk about something, Pas Lakita means when you actually pick it, that's going to determine. And that's certainly the Mashmais, the Gemara we had yesterday. Because it said, if you picked it right before Hashanah, it gets the end of the prior year. If you pick it right after Hashanah, we discussed how you can pick it, it's Rosh Hashanah. That's picked by a guy, or means the ritual says it means after Rosh Hashanah, but means the new year already struck. Then as the din of the new year, if it's based on when it's developed, then the Gemara is it's telling you when you picked it, not when it was developed. You could say that I know that's what it means. It means ready to be picked by before Rosh Hashanah and ready to be picked by after Rosh Hashanah. Okay, either way, Yerikos Basar Lakita. Hani Keman Shevi Rabbanon. So the question is, these that we just gave a new shiur of Hashrasha, it doesn't match any of the categories we've established till now. Chanata is when it emerges. Lakita is when it's plucked. Shlish is a shlish. What's this stage called Hashrasha? Hadam, meaning we know what it means, but where do we find it elsewhere? Hadam Rabba, Metech Shasuyim, Prachim, since they are crumbled a few at a time, as they're Rabbanon Bas Hashrasha, since these items, the poppy seeds, the sesame seeds, the rice, the millet, they're crumbled a few at a time, therefore the Chazal gave a meaning, crumbled literally means like they're harvested in small batches, a few at a time. Therefore, they were given a shear of when it takes root. So their Rabbanon gave them a new shear of taking root because there is no fixed shear. They all have their own independent time of when they're being harvested. So they gave the shear of Hashrasha for the whole crop. What do you mean? What's your concern? Your concern, Lechera, is that there's going to be different parts of this at different stages. They keep, they all, this one is, has their, it's Chanata, or it's Lakita, or it's Shlish, at one point of time, and the one right next to it has a different point of time. They each have their own points of time, and therefore it's going to be a problem that you're taking from different Shiurim, from different Zmanim, within a mixture. Why is that an issue? Pile it all up, and if I pile up all the poppy seeds, all the sesame seeds, they get mixed together well, and then when I take my maestras, I'm taking from the group on the group. So yes, 20% of the group, we'll call it, is from last year. 80% is from this year. When I take maestros, can I assume that the ratio of what I took also is 20% on the 20%, 80% on the 80%? Why is that an option? Your concern is that it gets ripe at different times, or they develop at different times, and it goes in small groups. So let me pile it up together and take an even amount across the top, and that should cover everything. Says the Gemara. If I do it such a fashion, wouldn't that leave me being taken chuma on the chadash, chadash, yashin, yashin? Wouldn't I be okay? Mila Tanya, we learned a similar method in the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippa, Imer Mishim, Rabbi Shimon Shuzuri, Pula Mitzri, that's the Egyptian bean, Miktsase Shazar Zera, that was planted for seeds. And Miktsase Hishish Lefayim Hashanah, Miktsase Hishish Lach Hashanah. Some of it took root before Hashanah, some of it took root after Hashanah. Ain Termasin Zaza, you can't take chuma for one or the other because they have different shiurim, different schedules. The Fishay Termin Maisri, Lemin HaChadash Yashim, Lemin HaShanah Chadash. You can't take chuma's maisri from old or new, or new and old. Kate said, dude, yeah, said, what should he do now? It's hard to determine which was grown before Hashanah, which after Hashanah. You know what you should do? Savor Grinel Seichi piles it up together on the threshing floor into one pile, into the middle, mixes it into one big pile. As long as you mix it into one pile, and then you take off your chumas, your maestros, you can safely assume that you're taking a ratio, proper ratio from chadash and chadash, and yashan yashan. So why don't we say the same option over here as well? So he said back to Abaye, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Kamrit, you're going to Rabbi, this Rabbi responds to Abaye. You ask me a question for Shimon Shazuri. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri suffer Yesh Pila, Shazuri holds that when you mix it together, Yesh Pila, the mixing is considered that it was done, the mixing is made everything even, so to speak, and therefore when you take a pot, when you take your small amount, you'll have an even mixture of all types. Rabbanah Savi Ein Bila, Rabbanah Argan Say Ein Bila. They don't rely on this. They say you have to take every little grouping, has to have its own Trumas Maestros taken from it, because we don't rely on mixing it together, because we're concerned that it won't be mixed yuffy yuffy, it won't be mixed properly, and therefore you may be taking a, you know, a higher percentage from one over the other, and you're not having an equal amount of Maestros for the last year's portion, and this year's portion will not be taken equally from what I take out, and therefore this is not a viable option. So yes, according to Shimon, we have an option. The Rabbanan argued on the option. Let's just see one more Gemara. It's a little late. Amar Bishem Rachmanu Shmuel Halacha Beis Ben Kippur Shamar Bishem Shimon Shazuri Halacha Sakli Beis Ben Kippur, who said in the name of Shimon Shazuri that we have this Eitzah mixed together and it does work. Masko Zayir Miyam Shmuelachis Shmuel says Vamar Shmuel La Kol Yam Bila Chas Miyam Shemen. He says that there is no Bila. We don't assume that's mixed evenly, except for wine and oil, liquids. Those mix evenly, but other things like beans and grains, Lachar, we don't say they mix evenly. Isn't it clear that Shmuel himself, Shmuel, you're saying the name of Shmuel, Lachos like a basement keeper, the name of Shmuel Shazuri, they can mix it. Shmuel himself says he can't mix it. Ishtamte hadam Shmuel, hakal achan gamar pri. The Mer answers Reb Zair's question that Reb Zair had forgotten. This is what Shmuel says, that everything goes is based on the hakal achan gamar pri. That everything goes based on the gamar pri. So Shmuel himself gave a psak that you go based on the gamar pri. Vitzricha. You know what? I don't want to run through this. Let's pause the video, pick it up in Mitzvah on